And we're back, just like I promised. We have something important. I see sometimes stories that just fall into with each other. Did you hear that sound?
That was announcing the story that fell into another.
That's a shark sound from, what was it? Jaws. Yeah. The looming shark. So, the passing of a George McDonnell, war veteran, executive, civil servant, 100, former sergeant, major, led troops in the Battle of Hong Kong, has died at the age of 100. And there's an obituary in today's Globe and Mail. And it highlights the phrase, Mr. McDonnell became one of more than 1,600 Canadian prisoners of war and remained so for more than 3.5 years until the war ended. 264 of the members of the men perished in that period, mainly owing to starvation, sickness, and abuse. There's a paragraph here coming on McConnell's war experiences. By the way, he wrote a memoir, and I think everybody should get it. I like the title, A Soldier's Story. We should read the accounts of people who served, not the generals or not the big shot historians, but the people who actually went out and did these things. The Globe gives you a pretty fair taste of what's in the book, but it just mentions that at the Battle of Hong Kong ended, and Mr. McConnell always maintained, I like this, the Canadians never surrendered, but rather obeyed the governor's order to lay down their arms. I have to say, by the way, that is a standard military procedure. If you're captured, the moment you're captured, your first duty is to organize escape. So, you know, that's so long as the war is on, you're in the war. By the way, the guys who are holding you know that too. Sometimes. The end of fighting touched off an orgy of killing, raping, and looting by the Japanese troops. Among those killed at Hong Kong were 293 Canadians, including those who died in battle and a number who were murdered after the surrender. So I think about those soldiers at Hong Kong and others who were captured in the Pacific, because now we are allied, we're told, with Japan. And we are so glad, and we want to share things with them, and we want them to arm themselves and to be part of this new, this term that Jolie and others have created, Indo-Pacific, the Indo-Pacific. China, of course, had similar experiences. There is a phrase, the Rape of Nanking. Look it up. Just, you don't need me, just look it up. And the reason that I want to call attention to this, you're listening to the Taylor Report, Japanese newspaperman was attending a press conference, the daily one, held by the Chinese Foreign Ministry. I'm not aware of Canadian Foreign Ministry holding daily press meetings. By the way, I've already remarked on the show, I'm very unimpressed that people talk about, you know, oh, it's a authoritarian state, etc. We don't take questions from the Chinese media that I'm aware of, or the Russian. We don't take questions. We could go into this at great length, particularly today when Minister Lavrov is in New York. Russian journalists were not allowed. The United States didn't allow them in, even though this is a UN function. We're talking about preserving the United Nations. The Canadians, soldiers who died at Hong Kong, were part of the effort that led to the establishment of the United Nations and of an international order. It wasn't shared values game, a block game. It was to create an international order and under the authority of the United Nations. So, at any rate, a Japanese reporter today at the Chinese Foreign Ministry said Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida made a ritual offering to the Yasukuni Shrine today. What's China's comment? So here's the comment. Wang Wenbin said, the Yasukuni Shrine, actually this was Friday, I think, I think it'd be correct. Anyway, the Yasukuni Shrine is a spiritual tool and symbol of Japanese militarist war of aggression. It honors 14 convicted Class A war criminals with grave responsibilities for the war crimes committed during that war of aggression. China rejects Japan's negative moves concerning the Yasukuni Shrine and has launched démarches to the Japanese side. China urges Japan to credibly honor the statement and pledge of facing up to and reflecting on the history of aggression. Make a clean break with militarism and earn the trust of its Asian neighbors and the international community. Canada should say the same thing. 14 convicted Class A criminals. Let's us be honest. Japanese politics involves this dispute over how to regard the leadership that made war. I'm not worried. I understand Pearl Harbor was hideous, and the occupation and brutality that took place in the Philippines and elsewhere. But China received the hardest blows. China and Korea. Today's news is that, also on this point, is that South Korea, exactly the same language as the People's Republic of China, pointed out that Japanese leaders going to or sending, in this case, it's sort of like he paid for flowers kind of deal. He didn't go there himself. Incidentally, they're Japanese political leaders, and they are very right wing. Don't kid yourself. These are very right wing individuals. They like to go to that shrine, and it's been basically regarded as a no-no, a forbidden thing. Certain people go, and I've always been interested in who those people are. The Dalai Lama went. The leader of the World Uyghur Congress went. Now, we fought in World War II, Canada, and Sergeant McConnell, now dead at the age of 100, was treated brutally. It barely survived. By the way, extremely bitter individual. I would advise you to read the book. I know some things he said there about how he was treated. But after all, the victory over Japan led to the establishment of the United Nations, also recognition of the People's Republic of China, who were our allies. So now, here are people leading Japan who think that we're going to just look the other way while they do this. And I would say, if they're going to do that, we should have nothing to do with them. You say, you're showing who you are. Class A war criminals. We're talking about the equivalent of the Nazis, certainly in terms of brutality and hideous things. Incidentally, by the way, Yasukuni Shrine has been there for some time. In 1938, it was visited by the Hitler Youth. A whole delegation of Hitler Youth went there because part of this thing is the glorification, as this statement says, the glorification of militarism and aggression. It celebrates it, and because it's like the great history. What is the great history? It's a history of conquest, history of conquering people. And here we are being told that we're supposed to be satisfied, to have an ally and to actually recruit them into a war, potential war, which is coming. We talked about in the first part of the program. We're supposed to recruit them, and we're supposed to be satisfied. And at the same time, they're going to go to this shrine. We should say, full stop, no, we're not going to do it. This is the Taylor Report. Thanks to Phil for being here, and Tony Leah, and of course, Shay did everything he could. We'll see you next week.